The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
When 23 million is in a college football headline, it's easy to lose the details. Let me provide a pretty important one. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. I hope everybody's having just a glorious day. I mean that. Appreciate everybody putting this blessing in my life. Been doing it. We're pushing 7 years now, actually. September, beginning of season, will be 7 years. So, as they say, that's not nothing. So, again, thank y'all. Also, I want to say 1 week from right now, Larsh Mobile, which is just a tremendous community down in Mobile, and it's worldwide, but the location of Mobile has an event on, I believe, YouTube next week, and it's next Thursday, and there's going to be a lot of bigwigs part of this program talking college football, and it's free for you to watch, and it's going to be everybody from Phillip Rivers to Brett Bielema to, I think, Steve Sarkisian's on the ballot, Reese Davis, I'm there. So a lot of folks on there, and, you know, you look at who's been there in the past, everybody from Gus to Sark to Rodney Garner and Nick Saban, and it's just a big deal. And so that's going on as well, and we'll be talking more about that. So much going on right now in the world of college football. I do also want to say I am here today and tomorrow, and then next Monday through Thursday, Heath Klein, our good friend from 107.5 The Game yonder in Columbia, Heath will be in for me hosting, and then I'll be back on Friday, and then Monday, you know, Memorial Day, it's here. Monday, we will have a show for you as well. So we'll have college football talk for you throughout the year. If it's a Monday through Friday, you can tune in whenever it is you listen. I said that when a headline, a college football headline, has 23 million in it, I don't care who you are. It could be Nick Saban in Alabama. It could be Ohio State, $23 million. Was somebody suing for $23 million? Is it $23 million payout? Ohio State and Bama don't pay out coaches. $23 million, whatever it is, it's something. I'm gonna tell you, somebody's gonna have a $23 million weight room. I believe, and if I forget the numbers right, it's not because I'm trying to be crappy towards Alabama. It's just because it's been about 6 or 7 years. Dan, fine when the waterfall was in the weight room at Alabama, because if I'm remembering, I want to say that was like 6 or 7 years ago or whenever. Do you remember the waterfall, the story about I believe that it was Nick Saban's. Remember, he didn't take over that program until the seven season? Was that right, 2007? And so I want to say when the waterfall went in, it was a $10 million or $11 million weight room, and it was his third way. He took over a weight room, used it, said, nope, strip it, redo it, used that a couple of years, stripped it, redid it, $11 million with a waterfall. So at some point, Nick Saban may have a $23 million weight room right now. Auburn may have a 20. You know where that gets buried? Is when you just – if you just do the weight room, everybody knows what the money is. If you have a $190 million overhaul of all the facilities, all right, you bury the weight room in there. And so somebody will find it, but it's not a headline because it's issued by itself. What is that, Dan?
2013. So a couple years ago. Yeah, a couple of years earlier than I thought. I thought it was like 14 or 15.
Yeah, and as I'm remembering, he shows up and he looks around. And he was like, okay, we got bars and plates. Which, I don't, Dan, when did you graduate high school?
2004.
Oh, dude. You're younger. I thought, okay.
Coming up on 20, though.
As recently as the 90s, do you know what a weight room was? Bars and plates and benches. That's what a weight room was. that ain't what a weight room is anymore, man. You've got, I want you to go back and watch Rocky IV. Everybody looks like Drago, minus the needle. But I'm talking all the sensors on him and the digital readouts and all that stuff, except it's not 1985 and we're dealing with the Siberian Express. We're talking about third team outside linebacker at Ole Miss. He's got the sensors all over him. He's got the GPS on him. So somebody's going to spend $23 million just on a weight room. The headline that we saw, and this is everywhere. I'm looking at the Associated Press. SEC says each school sent $23 million to make up for financial losses related to COVID. Directly from Sankey, who's starting to look more like Mike Slive every day. Maybe it's the, like, president. You get to be elected president. See Obama at the beginning when he's president? He's kind of standing upright, and he was wearing that tan suit, and everything was awesome. By the end, gray hair, kind of slumped over, man. It beats on you. Maybe that's what happens when you're SEC commissioner, too. But the SEC itself, and there's a full statement. The SEC says it has sent each member institution, each athletic department, each $23 million. I was just talking about like the MAC, okay? The MAC. If you are the head coach or the athletic director at Kent State and your conference is distributing $23 million total, do you know what that would mean to Kent and Akron and Western Michigan right now? They got, what do they have, 12 teams in there or four? And so you're talking, if you said there's a $1.6 million check heading your way from the league office, oh, like you would walk out and it would be like that bread falling out of the sky in Egypt. Wasn't that in Egypt? I think it was Egypt. Manna, little pieces of cake. That I swear that's what it would be like. If you're the athletic director at Buffalo and you get a memo, hey, by the way, be looking for that FedEx letter. Got a check for $1.6 in it. Are you kidding? $1.6 million? All right, don't cancel HBO. That's at Buffalo. That's if it was $23 million for the conference. Greg Sankey said, we're sending out $23 million to every one of you. LSU. LSU's like, yeah, huh? Yeah, we're rich. We have tons of money. Yep, you get $23 million. Vanderbilt. Yeah, we're rich, but we just don't spend it. Well, you got $23 million to not spend, although that has changed. My goodness, that has changed. Missouri, hey, remember why you joined the conference? Oh, yeah, we had dreams about days like this. Well, we are so flush in Birmingham that we're sending you a check for $23 million. Okay, so that's our part of like what Bama and LSU get? No. Georgia, Florida, everybody gets $23 million, including you, Missouri. For real? $23 million to everybody. The SEC yesterday said, hey, we're mailing out checks totaling $322 million. Because they got it. And the schools kind of need it. Some who have misspent. When I say misspent, I mean overextended. There were SEC athletic departments last year looked around saying, thankfully, we did have voluntary pay cuts because the lights are still on. So there were other programs like, and Georgia was maybe at the forefront of this. Dan, help, because you stay even more dialed in. Was about $120 million in the reserve fund?
Sounds about right. If all the things that Greg McGarrity was criticized for, saving money should not have been one of them because he had them in great position.
Suddenly, when a once every 100 years situation, which you don't know that's what you're planning for, it could have been anything that you were planning for. It could have been something emerged from the earth in Athens, Georgia, and literally every student for the past 10 years is class action, and your insurance company goes bankrupt. Whatever. But Greg McGarrity, good, bad, dead, or buried, whatever you think of that man, 120 large. Now, I use that phrase sometimes. He got that Breaking Bad storage facility. If you watch Breaking Bad, Dan, do you remember how much money was in there?
Mm-mm.
$80 million, which eventually I think the Nazis got, didn't they? Yeah. Walter had $80 million in cash in a storage facility. And I use that sort of as the generic
representation. Oh, LSU, they got one of those storage facilities. Greg McGarrity looks at me and says, no, you're selling a short. He only had $80 million cash liquid on hand. We had $120. Not everybody was like that. There are a lot of places where the coach announced, hey, all of us, we took 30% pay cuts. And the athletic director was like, it sucks not having the athletes on campus, but at least we don't have to feed them because ain't got any money. Folks, that was reality in the Southeastern Conference last year, where every athletic director has a Xerox shooting out $1,000 bills, and I don't even know who's on the $1,000 bill. Is it Grant? What's Grant on the 50? He's on the 50, I'm sorry. Whoever's on the $1,000 bill, shooting them out. Everybody. Problem is, overextended. You're paying three guys to not coach anymore. You don't have $120 million in the bank. So the SEC has said $23 million going out to each school. Do you know what the caveat, the detail? Because we're all like, my gosh, look at all the money in the conference. And that is an accurate takeaway.
Grover Cleveland,
$1,000 bill. I think he was also the first president to throw out a pitch in the World Series, I believe. So when we see $23 million, it gets our attention because it's a college football headline, but we also know it's the Southeastern Conference. So you know what our next is? Okay, well, which $23 million? The detail that we kind of get distracted from, the $23 million each SEC athletics department just got from Birmingham is an advance against future monies. It's not just a check Sankey and them sent out. However, here is the kicker for every other conference. It's expected that, except the Big Ten probably, it is expected that the $322 million the league office just bailed out in 14 envelopes will be completely offset by even more added revenue before the 2024 season and the new cash from ESPN comes rolling in. Greg Sankey says this money is specifically from the new money that starts in 3.5 years, but we will front it now. We will advance them. And I was like, you got to have the cash on hand to do that. God bless you, Sankey. He followed up with, but we don't expect the schools to actually have to pay it back because there will be even more. There will be so much more additional revenue that this $23 million of additional revenue will be paid back with it. My goodness. Yeah, we'll front it. We'll take it out of the check from ESPN, or maybe we won't because y'all will be making so much more than just $23 million in new money. All right, again, two things. In the Southeastern Conference, $23 million is just money, and it's $23 million more dollars that ultimately won't even have to be paid back.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's all always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A lot of discussion about what we could or couldn't do, what we should or shouldn't do. You always want to be in a position of strength as you're making decisions. And really, almost a year-long process brought us to the announcement today of the ability to access some funds that give us the opportunity to send supplemental revenue to our campuses.
Greg Sankey. Now, I use this phrase sometimes, the adult world. I live in the adult world. I don't like the adult world, and I'll be honest with that. I just don't. Whatever. But I do know that there are there are people who make deals get done, and then there are people who hear about deals getting done. Greg Sankey makes deals get done, and he has been a tremendous choice for SEC commissioner. He also lives in the adult world, which means it's messy sometimes and be kind of brutal. But I'm a big fan, huge fan of Greg Sankey. I think he has done somehow a tremendous and seamless job from about as impactful a college conference commissioner as you'll ever run across in Mike's life. In fact, the SEC's been on a little bit of a run so far. One thing they do, they hire right. So it's been 30-plus years of just unbelievable leadership, and Greg Sankey continues that. But he said the opportunity. We had the opportunity, so we're going to do it, and it may be on campus. And see, you know, I mentioned LSU. I know a bunch of money goes into LSU, and it's not just from the league office. For some schools like Missouri, when it comes to football, Missouri, Vandy, et cetera, the money that they get, it kind of comes from Destin when they have spring meetings and they hand out checks. That's not true but that's kind of when the gravy train ends. That's not true at LSU, for instance. They have – what do they seat there, Dan? 99?
92, I believe.
All right, 92,000. If they have 92,000 tickets, they sell 92,000 tickets. Whether they have 92,000 show up or not, if they print them, they sell them. So that's just not the case everywhere. So there's more money coming in. But, I mean, there was a case like Tennessee – do you remember about a decade ago? And I got privy to it, actually. Gosh, I got to go back before that when I was still traveling around, going around each week to, you know, whatever game I thought was going to be the biggest. But Tennessee had they were $100 million in debt or so, and they didn't have a reserve fund. They just had debt, and they had notes approaching, and they had world-class, brand-new, sparkly crib. But they also had a note coming due every 30 days. So I take back. I just threw out LSU because it's a giant program, sells all the tickets, gets a bunch of donations. Tennessee was that, and they had debt like you wouldn't imagine. So there's a difference between having revenue and having money. And I'm going to tell you, everybody in the SEC is in a slightly different situation. But whether you are Tennessee 10 years ago, see a red tape, or you're Georgia, $120 million in a storage facility, you'll take the $23 million. What up, Dan?
Oh, Derek Pomanski and everybody, down in Baton Rouge, and everybody's going to be upset with me. $102,000 and change now. Because remember, they added on.
You're out.
I might have to forfeit my next trip.
You're going to wind up in Gumbo.
Yeah, Pastime Lounge. I think it's just going to have to be just keep going, go to Lafayette, go to Lake Charles.
Is this gator wherever in this gumbo? I don't know. It's chewy.
I don't know. Well, hopefully I've been able to firm up a little bit. But anyway, also, too, I want to make sure that everybody down there in southern Louisiana is staying safe. I know they're getting a lot of heavy rain down there, so please stay safe. You know, it's funny. Chuck, have you ever noticed that, especially in college sports more than any other, that I want to take us back to an awkward time in our life. Remember when we used to go to middle school dances and it was, you didn't want to be the first one out on the dance floor, and you also didn't want to be the first one dancing with another girl there because then everybody in the hallway would talk about you.
However many dances there were in eighth grade, Ginger Latham turned me down that many times.
Sure. I mean, we all have our bad memories, for sure. But the Kickstarter for everybody is when finally somebody is brave enough to get out to the dance floor, there's comfort in the crowd because then it's, okay, I'll get out there. You know, hey, they're dancing to it. All right, somebody else is. Here I go. South Carolina is that one that's comfortable because, you know, it's one of those things, the saying goes, the first one through the wall is the bloodiest. Well, in their case, they're not going to be, but they have now gone ahead and set the rotation going forward for everybody else to finally say, which I would believe that today, tomorrow, on into next week, we're going to have everybody, yeah, hey, this fall, oh, I didn't even know we had to say it. It's a formality at this point. Yeah, we're going to be full capacity, no mask, all those different types of things. We've had schools say it for the spring, but nobody outwardly say it for the right. fall. They did it, and now everybody else is going to follow.
Yeah, and you're right. There has been expectations, and there have been, hey, we hope. But as far as official announcements, hey, folks, it's 100% in the SEC. They led the way. What's the phrase? I ain't going to be first, but I sure want to be second. That's expected to happen here as well.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. As Dan and I were just talking about, the South Carolina announcement, it is different than what we have seen before. If we DeLorean back a couple of months, it was, I think, during spring practice, maybe. I've got the quotes here. This is from Greg Byrne, of course, AD at Alabama. He says, we are moving forward. Says, we have received a number of questions regarding capacity at Bryant-Denny for this fall. We are moving forward with plans to have a full stadium in the fall. We'll monitor medical guidelines as we have all along. And it was announced as Alabama is the first SEC school to confirm its tentative plans in both the classroom and on the field. But there were still also protocols involved as far as, you know, mask or you know, whatever. But that's what our plans are now. South Carolina, I mean, it wasn't a source close to the – it was Ray Tanner. The athletic director going, yeah, no mask, full capacity, tailgate wherever you want. Yay, Ray Tanner. So there's nothing tentative about that. And so if you have seen these other announcements, to my understanding, South Carolina's the first one to say, pretend it's 2019. That was the short version of Ray Tanner's announcement regarding South Carolina football. I want to welcome on right now columnist, college sports editor, Charleston Post and Courier. It is Gene Sapikoff. Gene, how are you today?
Great, Chuck. I'm at the Ocean Course watching PGA Championship golf, but looking forward to the football season for sure.
Man, that is that's Keel, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I have had the pleasure of that was invited, actually, to assault the course for one round back in 2008. I should not have been asked to do that, but I got to tell you, it was one of the most special sporting like experiences I've ever had. That's a magical place, man. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's a really cool course, and you know, even on TV, I think it's better. I would say that except for Augusta National and Pebble Beach, the Ocean Course at Kiawa is the coolest place to see a golf tournament on television in America.
And I would tell anybody who plays it, watch your elevation because it'll look like a Scott Norwood kick. All right, Jane, let's talk about South Carolina and football. You were on the line there. Did I summarize that correctly? It can be 2019 in your mind.
they're going for it. They're just getting out ahead of everybody else. And, you know, I hopefully predict that by the first week of September, Chuck, everybody in every sport is at full capacity. But South Carolina is trying to get some positive publicity here. And Shane Beamer, going into his first season, needs all the help he can get, probably even against Eastern Illinois in the opener.
And talk about just the mood among the fans, because I have gotten a reaction, and it changed a little after spring, but it was sort of like, yeah, we're happy. We had a good time with, he was here for the best of times before, but it's still almost arm's length. It's almost like we've been hurt before.
Cautiously optimistic. I think you've kind of nailed it there. This is a really tough neighborhood that Shane Beamer finds himself in. I mean, you're just looking at playing Georgia and Clemson every year. That's two of the best four programs in the country, along with Alabama and Ohio State. So maybe they don't even think about those as games they need to win. But what's really problematic is Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, Auburn on the schedule for the second year, though they beat them last year in a 2-8 season. But those are the kind of games that they're going to have to get over the hump with. And, you know, Florida, obviously tough. And I'll tell you what, Chuck, they got a road game at East Carolina. No pushover there. The coach is Mike Houston. He used to be at the Citadel. And the last time he played the Gamecocks with the Citadel in 2015, the Bulldogs emerged victorious.
Yep. Continuing, Gene Sapikoff, talking South Carolina football to start with. Luke Doty, does Shane Beamer – I'm going to ask you to jump inside his gray matter – does Shane Beamer truly believe he's got his guy in Luke Doty, or is he young enough and athletic enough that the mistakes can kind of be explained away if there are mistakes?
I'm pretty convinced that Shane Beamer and Marcus Satterfield, the new offensive coordinator, want very intense competition from Jason Brown, the transfer from St. Francis, because Luke Doty has to be pushed to be better. You know, Luke Doty, great guy, very athletic kid from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, but the intention was not really to have him be the starter in his sophomore year, if ever. I mean, it's really weird because of COVID and because of the transfer portal. There's former South Carolina quarterbacks all over the place. Dekarion Joyner is a wide receiver at South Carolina. He's played quarterback for the Gamecocks. Longtime starter Jake Bentley has been to Utah and is now at South Alabama playing quarterback. And then you have Ryan Holinsky, former starting quarterback for South Carolina, is now at Northwestern. Very strange.
Is Brandon McElwain playing for the Mets?
Yeah, I don't know. He might be in the starting lineup tonight at this rate, but now, I'm not really sure about McElwain, but I think Luke Doty needs Jason Brown, the transfer from St. Francis, again, to really push him to be better at the very least.
And if it turns into the best Luke Doty just for this season, just for the 2021 season, the best South Carolina offense, what does that look like? Because my opinion is the best they can do for this coming season is going to be a whole lot of on the ground, and that's not what really South Carolina fans are in the mood for.
Not exactly, but it's necessary because what they're going to have to do is run the ball with a excellent running back room, at least on paper, with Kevin Harris, Marshawn Lloyd, and others, and a really good tight end room. You don't usually say that, but Nick Muse and this E.J. Jenkins guy, another transfer from St. Francis of Pennsylvania, who's 6'7" and can really go up and get the football. I think that's what you do. The tight end is the shaky quarterback's best friend, a good running back room, try to shorten games. That's what they're going to have to do, at least this season.
Flip it around to defense, and they were scrappy. They tried hard, but I mean, I'm not trying to denigrate them. I swear, I wish I could take those words back. There were times they were playing with like one SEC linebacker, you know, but there were three on the field. You know, when injuries happen, they just happen. I was surprised that defense never got consistently good with Will, and especially up the middle, the safety play. I was just really, really surprised at just the lack of overall development and consistency on that side of the ball. What's the chances now? What's the forecast for 21?
First of all, you nailed it. For Will Muschamp, who had good defenses in his earlier years at South Carolina and at Florida and was a scrappy defensive back at Georgia, to have bad tackling be a huge and consistent problem was really an indictment. This year they will have a better front seven, both in terms of depth and talent. The problem is pretty good cover corners. J.C. Horn, first-round draft pick, and Israel Mukwamu, also drafted into the NFL, are gone. So you're not going to get that coverage sack situation. And by the way, they were last in the SEC in sacks last year with, I think, 14. So that's going to have to develop. I think the front seven could be okay and mask that for the first couple games, which is, again, Eastern Illinois and East Carolina. But, wow, it's going to get tough in a hurry after that.
All right, I'm going to let you get to the fun golf in just 1 second. One question about Clemson. Walk me through the running game, whether it's speed sweeps or the quarterback or the traditional running back. Tell me how you think that ball gets divided.
Well, two thoughts. One, DJ Uiagalelei will compile statistics. I didn't say he'd be better, but he will compile statistics better than either Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence. He's just that kind of stat-packing monster of a guy. And the freshman running back, Will Shipley, will be an ACC star. Dabo Swinney usually doesn't brag that much about freshmen. He thinks he's the complete package guy already. He's saying things like that. Runner, receiver, blocker, Will Shipley looks like a really good running back that they have.
Outstanding, man. I appreciate the insight. Get to the golf.
Thanks a lot, Chuck.
All right, Gene Sapikoff again from Post and Courier. And so there are a lot of right answers there. And when I talk about the Clemson backfield, as I said, just tell me about the running game, because it's going to be some of the running backs. They're going to do fun things with – yeah, he mentioned Shipley. Shipley's not a running back. He's a motion guy. He's a slot guy. He's a wing. He may come out of a huddle and line up behind DJ. I would be surprised if he's there when the ball is snapped. He may line up at slot and motion behind DJ and maybe be there that way. It's not going to be toss right, toss left with Will Shipley. It's going to be 15 other things. I think I agree with what Gene was saying there. And, you know, he was relaying the thoughts from Dabo, but the versatility and the ability for that kid to get involved early. And, you know, Dabo, he's the best coaches, the ones who are winning national championships. And this goes back to really the first time I saw it. I don't want to say in a cold manner, but in just a very direct manner, was with Pete Carroll at Southern Cal. This kid's better. He's going to start. Well, he's a freshman, and I'm a returning starter. He's better. He's going to play. And with no transfer portal, you would wind up having like maybe a rising senior at USC, middle of August. He realizes that I'm the first defensive back off the bench. I'm going to come in when we go nickel, and I started 23 games in a row. But we got this five-star coming in from La Jolla, and he took my job. So that used to happen all the time. I'm sure y'all, if you were paying attention back in the day, I don't know how old you are. Maybe you were 12 and you're in sixth grade. But if you go back to, 02, 03, 04-ish, 05 with USC, it was routine to hear stories about how the best games in college football were on Tuesdays, Los Angeles, because that's when Pete Carroll said, all right, go earn a job. And he would have a blank depth chart, a blank starting 22. Say, all right, go earn your way. And Tuesdays, things were up for grabs. So that's how the coldest coaches do it. And Dabo has never been accused of being the coldest coach out there. But Will Shipley and any freshman, you show up, C.J. Spiller, show up. All right, well, we're going to work out. Was it Spiller and Davis together? James Davis, when you go back when he was a freshman, same. I mean, it just and that even predates Dabo being the head coach. So it just, you know, big time college football, when that's the goal, there is a I don't want to say coldness, but there is a certain directness and a bottom line nature to, you know what, you're better, you're gonna play. I mentioned Ellis Johnson, even, who he doesn't like starting freshmen, and my buddy Heath was telling me before maybe they opened against Southern Miss or Navy or someone. And he said, or East Carolina, maybe. And Jadeveon Clowney's first ever game, he told me, Ellis doesn't like starting freshmen. Jadeveon's not starting. Texted me after the game. He's like, Jadeveon's starting next week. Said he's the best player on the field. So, and that, again, started about 2 years of dominance and then boom, off to the NFL. So, anyway, Appreciate Gene coming on. We're going to break. Come back. Rapid Fire 1 next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Continuing with the Chuck Oliver Show on this Thursday. And I think I have identified who are going to be the biggest transfer portal losers. Well, me and the – I'll give them credit, folks. I'll advertise for them. I have identified this along with the Rivals transfer portal Twitter account. And it's, I've told you that I don't – I've never really watched reality TV. And whether it's the singing shows, or I guess I've watched some cooking shows, but those aren't really reality television. I'm talking about where folks are supposed to pretend that they're angry at each other and they yell and scream. Never watched a Kardashian anything. What are they famous for? Are they famous for being famous?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. All right. Famous for being famous. And by the way, I'm fine with that. Like Ed Sullivan, if you remember who Ed Sullivan was famous for being famous. I mean, that some people, that's just kind of what it is. So I've never watched reality TV, but I think that this is about as close to it as I've ever been, watching the NCAA transfer portal Twitter site every single day. And yesterday afternoon, there's 1,000 of these, literally. I'm sorry, there's like 1,400 of them. And you can go on and just watch them come in each day. There'll be 10 or 12 or 40 announcements of I've picked up an offer, or I've committed, or I've decided to jump into the portal, or I'm going to remain at Arkansas. Get these announcements all day long. And it's real life in real time as they choose to go to Twitter. What I saw yesterday was an announcement from a now former Buffalo Bulls, University of Buffalo, UB, a Buffalo Bulls offensive lineman. Dan, let me ask you, and you don't know anything about this, right? I have assumed you haven't been drilling down on Buffalo transfers.
No, but funny enough, Buffalo was featured on an MTV reality show once.
The University of Buffalo?
The University of Buffalo. It was like a show about a sorority and a fraternity and like – I don't know.
At the University of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Not Ole Miss or South Florida.
I think it was like called like the Greek Life or something like
that. Or Chico State or anywhere with a sun.
No, UB.
Okay. If you're an offensive lineman at Buffalo and you jump in the portal and any Big 12 school comes calling, what are you going to do?
See ya.
Absolutely. This kid, offensive lineman from Buffalo, jumps into the portal. Like 12 minutes later, Dave Aranda says, you have a scholarship at Baylor. Dude's leaving. And do you know the only way he tells Baylor no is if Southern Cal offers him or Notre Dame? I just told you it's huge for me, and I want to see how it goes. Maybe the fix is in, because sometimes there was, if we go back, I think it was 2 years or maybe three, it was when it was the, you know, you got to apply for a waiver, and there was nothing in the rule book outside of, you know, a few very, very broad, egregious background details or something. And so you could apply for it. There was an offensive lineman from Ohio State who wanted to transfer to Duke, and he got immediate eligibility. And even David Cutcliffe was like, yeah, there's nothing in the rule book about that. There's really no reason. Well, I was surprised too. Isn't it great? I was like, yeah, you're the Duke head coach, and you got an Ohio State offensive lineman transferring to you. That's great. So that's all. It's all changed now. And the portal is a big thing. And this offensive lineman from Buffalo announces, I'm in the portal. He gets an offer from Baylor. The only way he doesn't go is if Texas offers or Alabama. I said the other day, the Marshall offensive lineman is a second-team All-American. He announces he's in the portal. Folks, that's what everybody – you know, we got one spot left. We want an offensive lineman. Okay, well, Marshall – he's a Marshall offensive lineman who jumped in the portal. When Florida State offers, he says, heck yeah, here I come, Tallahassee. Always love good Cuban sandwiches. So he's off and flying. Why? Because he was at Marshall, and I've told you, I have a lot of affinity for that place. Huntington, West Virginia, it's a great fan base. It looks just like it did on the movie. Yard displays, everybody out cheering on the I'm talking sidewalks, walking to the game. I did probably 15 games there. And it's blue collar, man. And it's not close to much at all. But a Marshall offensive lineman who has a chance to go play, I don't know where he's going to play. Maybe he transfers to Stony Brook for all I know. But I don't think. Because every program with even one scholarship, if you have one scholarship left, the answer is offensive lineman. If you have two, do you know what the answer is? Offensive lineman and then maybe another offensive lineman, maybe a corner. Maybe a nickel, a star, whoever. But it's OL first. So yesterday I see this announcement. Buffalo has an all-conference offensive lineman jump in the portal. Immediately Baylor says, here you go, son. Kid leaves. He's gone. So how pecking order works, I mean, we all know what it is. Have you ever seen the opening of the Partridge Family? Pecking order. If Baylor takes from Buffalo, Buffalo takes from a lower-level program. And when I say lower-level, I'm talking by pure classification, because Power 5 takes from Group of 5, Group of 5 takes from FCS. This is the kick in the pants for the Group of 5 coach. Is when the FCS coach loses his player to Group of 5, he's not playing those teams. And so it doesn't, and your quote, doesn't really matter. Buffalo, you're losing a player to a program that you're going to play of that ilk, and you're going to replace him with a lower-level player from FCS. You'll go to Stony Brook and say, hey, got any offensive linemen? And you know what the Seawolves? The Stony Brook Seawolves. Do you know what the offensive tackle from Stony Brook's response is? Really? Buffalo? I saw y'all play Ohio State on television. Yeah, I'm going to go play. So let's talk about the Group of Five coach, who's kind of in the middle there. Do you know how you win a MAC championship? You win a MAC championship by having a few Big 12 players on your roster. You don't have Big 12 players on your roster anymore. Baylor has your Big 12 player on its roster. Iowa State is going to have your Big 12 player on its roster. Do you know what Buffalo had when it had Khalil Mack? It had the best pass rusher in the SEC on the Buffalo roster. Do you know how you win a MAC championship? Do you know how you play in a bowl game at Buffalo? It starts with having SEC players on your roster. It goes that next level when you've got the best defensive player in America on your roster. And Khalil Mack looks around and is like, you know what? I got 1 year left. I ain't trans. I'm just going to blow up the Mack. And then go, what was he, fifth overall in the draft? And he showed up and he was one of probably, as a rookie, second-year player. Like, it took him 12 minutes and he was one of the top five defensive players in the league at Buffalo. I told you the story. I watched, in fact, they did play Ohio State first or second week of the season back in, I don't know, 14 maybe. I came in on Monday. I was like, best player on the field, play for Buffalo. My on-air partner was like, oh, stop. I was like, I'm not telling you. Kid's name's Khalil Mack, best player on the field, and they were playing in CBUS. You know what Khalil Mack? Khalil Mack would have been playing for Ohio State if it were 2021. And the Buffalo coach would have reached down to the Citadel to replace him.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.